news, and then we'll come back with the sports guys.
USA Radio News with Melody Burkett.
Former Connecticut Governor John Rowland is appealing his 2014 corruption conviction.
Rowland was in federal appeals court in New York, arguing that prosecutors improperly hid evidence pointing to his innocence and that the trial judge played favorites with the government during the trial. He was convicted of trying to hide his role as a paid political consultant by volunteering for Lisa Wilson Foley's congressional campaign while being paid by her husband's firm. He was forced to resign in 2004 and served 10 months in prison on unrelated corruption charges. Rowland, who was sentenced to 30 months in prison, is free on bail pending the appeal. Terry Sheridan, New York.
Defense Secretary Ash Carter says China needs to step it up to help keep North Korea in check. Carter noted that China has the most influence over North Korea because of proximity and shared economic interests. This is USA Radio News.
Welcome to Staples.
Staples guy, is this the right price on paper?
Yes, it is.
That's low.
Well, Staples has everyday low prices on the office items you use most.
How do you know what my office uses most?
We have low prices on pens, coffee, pencils, tech products, ink, and paper.
You do know what we use most. You're like a psychic.
Well, that's just what I see in your cart.
Oh, right.
Go to Staples for everyday low prices, plus special deals for even more savings. Make everyday low prices happen. Make everything for your business happen. Staples. Make more happen.
QL1, does Rocket Mortgage require me to fill out a bunch of paperwork?
Negative control. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans is the first on-demand mortgage machine that quickly imports your financial data. You can go through the entire mortgage approval process in minutes.
That is fast, like rocket fast.
It also works on any internet-ready device, so you can get a Rocket Mortgage at any time or place you choose. Over.
3, 2, 1.
Rocket Mortgage at QuickenLoans.com. Push button. Get mortgage.
Rocket.
Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Number 3030.
White House spokesman Josh Earnest says Senate Republicans should consider their constitutional obligations when it comes to the latest Supreme Court nominee. Senators are off on a two-week spring break.
Members of the Senate should take the next couple of weeks to consider their constitutional responsibilities and to consider whether or not they're comfortable with taking orders from Republican leaders in Washington as opposed to taking orders from the Constitution and the American people.
Senate Republican leaders have pledged to ignore President Obama's nominee for the U.S. Supreme Court. Obama nominated Merrick Garland to replace the late Justice Antonin Scalia. Garland is a veteran federal appeals court judge in Washington. Airmen at a nuclear missile base are suspended from duty and under investigation for drug use. The Defense Department says 14 airmen at F.E. Warren Air Force Base in Wyoming are suspected of using substances, including cocaine. The investigation is focused on what the junior airmen were up to in their off-duty hours. This is USA Radio News.
QL1, this is Control. Does Rocket Mortgage require me to come in and speak with someone?
Negative, Control. With Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans, you can go through the entire mortgage process on your own and completely online.
Copy that, QL1, but if I wanted to speak to someone, do you think they're out there?
They're out there, all right. Their award-winning client service is beyond anything I've ever experienced.
3, 2, 1.
Rocket Mortgage at QuickenLoans.com. Push button. Get mortgage.
Rocket.
Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Number 3030.
Many of us have experienced that unfortunate feeling in the gut prompting a quick search for the nearest bathroom. According to the CDC, 1 in 6 Americans get food poisoning every year. USA's Tammy Rose reports.
The number one rule in avoiding food poisoning is never leave perishable food at room temperature. As we head into spring, you might be planning a picnic, but remember the danger zone. Bacteria thrives in 40 to 140 degrees Fahrenheit, so bring a cooler. Poultry is the primary culprit when it comes to foodborne illness. Wash your hands when handling raw chicken or turkey. Avoid contaminating surfaces and thoroughly cook your meat. It's also important to rinse all fruits and vegetables, even if you're not planning to eat the outer skin. Finally, when digging into some leftovers, remember to reheat them properly. I'm Tammy Rose.
The Northeast could see up to a foot of snow starting this weekend. The National Weather Service says conditions are ripe for a winter storm system that could leave people digging out from Philadelphia to Boston. It's going to be much colder on the first day of spring, Sunday, when the snow could begin to fall. More tuna is on the recall list. The FDA says there are concerns that the products may be undercooked due to an equipment malfunction. Chicken of the Sea is voluntarily recalling about 100,000 cans of tuna. The brands involve canned chunk light tuna in water and in oil. That followed action by Bumblebee to voluntarily recall more than 30,000 cans of chunk light tuna in water and in oil. More information can be found at FDA.gov. I'm Melody Burkett.
Sutton Foster is 41, from Bunhead. Comedian and actor Dane Clark, 44. Raquel Gardner is 46, from A Night at the Roxbury. Singer of Cue the Rain, Queen Latifah, a New Jersey native, is 46. She's in the New Jersey Hall of Fame. The line, fine line between cute and creepy. Michael Bergen is 47. Batman Begins. Kamar Hassan is 48.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program, no drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Okay, we're here with the sports guys. Bill's with me. We just want to get you some weather, and the weather tomorrow, mostly sunny. It's actually going to be a nice day, up around 45 degrees, and get out there, do whatever you have to do, and you may even want to cover some of your plants, because by tomorrow by evening, there's a chance of snow, mainly after 2 a.m., but going into Sunday, snow is likely, about a 70% chance. And that Sunday night, again, snow likely. And then into Monday, chance of snow. So we may be getting, and I don't know why everybody's surprised, because, you know, it is March. And, you know, I know my husband's birthday is at the end of April. And he said when he was a kid, it was often snowing. So, Bill, I guess we can do one more, you know, snowball fight, maybe. And then anybody who's really interested should go down and see some spring training.
I think that's a great idea, Pat. Good afternoon, Flemington, Hunterdon, and the rest of the world. It's been a great week. Everybody knows where you have snow on the way. I have decided that I don't need to go work on my boat in a snowstorm or in blustery 40-degree weather with 10-mile-an-hour winds on Saturday. So I'll be at home 1 o'clock watching the Philadelphia Flyers face off at home against the Pittsburgh Penguins. The Flyers have had a tremendous, tremendous rush. They have gone 8-1-1 over their past 10 games. They have now managed to force their way into a wild card spot. So I'm getting really excited, Pat. Everybody had written them off this season, thinking it would be just another growth year, but Hextall has gotten some good players, and his coach Hextall has gotten them playing really well. They're responsible along the boards. They battle well for the pucks. They are making good outlet passes. They're entering the zone, attacking zone quickly, and they've gotten good goaltending. Two nights ago, they outlasted Chicago 3-2.
Yes, I know.
And on some fluky goals, they also beat Detroit 4-3. And before that, they tied, went into overtime in Florida, and as they always seem to do, lost in the shootout. And before that, they beat the Tampa Bay Lightning, a team they hadn't beaten in 8 years at home.
Now, does
Tampa.
This guy follow hockey? He doesn't even have a note in front of him, guys. So here's, you know, the hockey trivia. What would be the best hockey trivia question that I could give you this week, Bill, if I could think of one?
Okay. Who fired the shot that made Jacques Plante of the Montreal Canadiens wear a mask?
Oh, well, now you have to answer your own question, since I certainly wouldn't know.
Number 9 for the New York Rangers, Andy Bathgate. As a child, he was my favorite hockey player.
And why isn't he still your favorite hockey player?
Well, he's dead.
Well, I understand, but you've replaced him just because he died?
No, I had to pick somebody else because he wasn't playing anymore to watch.
Oh, okay. But as far as all time, that's an interesting trivia question. What would be your top five?
Okay.
Off the top of top five players off the top of your head.
Well, I would have to say certainly Bobby Clark of the Flyers, Bobby Orr of the Boston Bruins.
Yep.
Let's see. Since we're talking Bobby's, Bobby Hull.
Yes.
Stan Mikita of the Blackhawks, but only because when I was 9, he flipped me a puck over the boards in Madison Square Garden. And Bernie Parent, a great Flyer goaltender.
So not Wayne Gretzky. You wouldn't put Wayne up there.
Pardon me?
You wouldn't put Gretzky up there.
Wayne Gretzky was a great, great hockey player. And he really made everybody else around him better. But if you're asking for my personal favorites, I was never an Oilers fan. I was never a big Wayne Gretzky fan, although I have to tell you he was probably one of the most talented guys ever, and he won cup after cup with the Oilers, with the Kings, and you know, finished out a career in New York. I also like Mark Messier, but if you ask me to pick five, you kind of have to go with some childhood favorites and the favorites who played for, frankly, the team you always followed.
Aha! So in other words, I would get to pick five Packers if we were doing this in football.
That's right. Well, let's go pick five Packer. Who are your favorite five all-time Packers?
Well, I'll do it another time, but right now I have to tell you, I'm so brain dead. I'm not sure I could. I guess it would have to be Don Hudson, although, you know, he played long before my time, but he's one of the all-time greats. And, you know, that's interesting, whether it would be favorites or as far as watching players, you know, I really loved to watch Brett Favre. Everybody knows that, but he was just so much fun to watch. I don't know. You know, there were so many great, of course, Reggie White, even though he wasn't a Packer for a long time. And you must have loved watching Reggie when he played for the Eagles.
Oh, yeah. Reggie White was a great, great football player and a great individual.
Well, that's the point. I mean, he had that ability to, for example, when he came to Green Bay, he became the leader of the team.
I didn't know that.
Right? Oh, I really think that he was the leader of the team, and I think that Brett, you know, and everybody on that team respected him for every, you know, both on the field and off the field.
Wasn't he also a deacon or
he
minister?
He was. He was a minister, yeah. A deacon or a minister in a church. And, you've heard the story, of course, how they got him to Green Bay, didn't you? Nope. Oh, I think I've told this even on the radio.
Well, do it anyway. I could use a good story.
Yeah,
folks.
And I think it must have been, I don't think it was Ted Thompson. I think it was, who was it that called? Reggie was a free agent. And, of course, the story was that he was one of the leaders in the union. And so that, according to Reggie's wife, Philadelphia did not offer to renew his contract. And she absolutely swears by that. And, of course, nobody in Philadelphia in the organization would admit to it because Reggie was such a popular guy.
People were shocked when he was not offered another contract.
But people have said that he turned it down, but according to his wife, even now, he did not. So Reggie was out there in free agency, and of course, anybody would have wanted Reggie White. And so, and I have to check with, because all of a sudden I'm blanking, whether it was Lombardi called him. And no, it couldn't have been Lombardi. Lombardi wasn't there. I think it might have been Holmgren. And Holmgren called him and left a message that the message was, "This is God, and I want you to play for the Packers."
It must have been the ghost of Vince Lombardi.
So it would have been. But no, that was a true story. That in any event, Reggie went there. And one of his big concerns, and you said, he was a minister, he was a deacon, and one of his big concerns was, you know, there are not many African-Americans in Green Bay, and he wanted to be able to preach at his church. And so my understanding is that part of the deal was that he would get to go back and, you know, do his ministry whenever, you know, he wasn't playing. But he was also fun to watch.
He was a very exciting player, I have to say.
He really was, and anybody who didn't understand football, when I would go to football games with people who really didn't understand football, I sometimes would say, just watch Reggie White, and you'll get a sense of what happens in football. And I know you've said that to people, watch one hockey player, and you get a better sense of hockey if you're watching one player than if you're just trying to follow the puck.
That's exactly right. The thing with watching a guy like Reggie White was, and he was a defensive back, if I remember. Mm-hmm. And I think he wore number 56 when he was with Philly. I don't remember what he wore at Green
Bay. He wore 92.
We'll have to look that up. There's a trivia.
No, I have his shirt now. I mean, I can't believe I don't. Because the refrigerator, as I recall, was 93.
William the Refrigerator Perry. He actually played for the Eagles for a season.
Well, he was fun to watch, too.
He sure was.
He was a Chicago Bear. And he, I mean, it was, you know, he really did look like a refrigerator. And as I recall, he was 93. Reggie was 90, had a 92 Packers shirt. I should know absolutely because I still have his jersey, which
When I go to Philadelphia, I wear.
Oh, that's good. That keeps you protected. It's like a magic talisman.
No, as a matter of fact, it almost got me killed.
Oh.
But so what else is happening? Anything in spring training?
Well, there's a lot going on in spring training, but I wanted to talk about our William the Refrigerator Perry story.
Okay.
Do you know, I saw him score his only touchdown in his career.
I did too, but I wasn't at the game.
It was he was playing for the Philadelphia Eagles. And he was put out there because an offensive lineman, an offensive back, one of the running backs had been injured. And they were in a set formation with the quarterback who I think at the time was right under center. And the play was a fake to Wilbert Montgomery, but they were going to give the Refrigerator the ball. And the play was called Fridge Fall Down. And they were like on the 1 yard line or 1 foot line. And the idea was that they were going to hand him the ball. Quarterback was going to take the snap, stuff the ball into his stomach. He was going to hang onto the ball, take 2 steps forward, and then fall down. And he was told that if he didn't fall down, somebody on the Eagles was going to trip him. Because if he fell down, he was so big, the ball would end up in the end zone. And sure enough, they called the play. The ball was snapped. It ended up in his belly, in the Refrigerator's belly, right on the second shelf, next to the milk. And he did exactly what he was supposed to. He fell forward. He squashed 2 Minnesota Vikings on the way down. I don't think they've ever recovered. And the Eagles picked up 6 points. And it was...
So why didn't they want him to run 4 steps?
They didn't think he would survive the heart attack. He was a
Well, when
big,
did he play
guy.
For the Eagles? See, I know, because he played for the Bears. I watched him crush the Packers. So
what was he like, 6'5", 6'6", and 380 pounds?
Now, if he was really
a big guy.
He was. If he weighed under 400, I'd be surprised. But so did he play for the Eagles before or after they played for Chicago?
After the Bears.
Oh,
the Bears
okay.
decided to let him go. And the Eagles picked him up off the waiver wire, late in the season, and I could be wrong about that. And it was kind of quiet. And one morning I opened my Philadelphia Inquirer or saw it on the internet, perhaps. I don't remember, but
I think that was before the internet.
Probably pre-internet. But I opened the Inquirer, and it was a Sunday morning, and I nearly spit out my coffee because the Eagles had picked up the Fridge, who I always thought was kind of a neat player. Here's a guy who could probably eat 4 chickens and still have room left over for a couple of pies. And he came to Philadelphia, and he had a fun, jolly way about him.
Oh, he did. This
was a man who I don't think ever made an enemy.
Oh, I mean, I think people
extremely likable.
They didn't want to be anywhere close to him and he was a tough guy to run around.
He was actually surprisingly quick.
And for that size, they always talk about some of these bigger players who, you know, should lose weight. And I don't think anybody ever said that about the Refrigerator. They said that, just put on a few more pounds because. But he was one of those players. I guess sometime we should put together a list of the fun players to watch. And I think that's the one difference when you're watching on television, that you don't really see some of the antics. You don't really see a lot of what's going on. I mean, I find it, I know people say, oh, I'm sitting in my living room. I've got the big screen television. It's just great. But all we're watching is what the camera wants us to watch.
That's right. When you're at the game, you see a lot more And remember, you're not really censored. And here's John Manfreda speaking of censoring. We were just talking about William the Refrigerator Perry. Good afternoon, John. How are you?
Good afternoon, Bill. Hello, Pat.
Well, he looks like he's been out playing tennis instead of working.
Can't say I've been on the court. In fact, it's a little too windy today. But William the Refrigerator Perry, my gosh, that sounds like the 1986 Super Bowl or 1985 Super Bowl.
I thought he was an 85 Chicago Bear.
He was. Yes. They beat the Patriots 46-10 in the 85 Super Bowl.
You know, Netflix has a documentary about the 85 Bears, and I'm going to have to go.
Well, they did the what was the shuffle? They did the what? They made the first ones to do a video and raise money for charity. And what was it called? It was the something shuffle.
The Ditka Shuffle? I can't imagine.
I don't remember.
I don't think it was that, but it was the something shuffle. And the whole team, most of the team, was in this music video, and they made a lot of money. I mean, like $50,000, and they donated to charity. Yeah.
Well, you know, and you get fans, like Chicago Bear fans, Packer fans. They would buy anything that the team is in.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
I mean, you can't imagine how much, talking about charity, how much money was raised for breast cancer in Wisconsin because of Brett Favre's wife. I mean, it was just phenomenal.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, not only were people wearing green, but guys were in pink. You know, pink shirts, pink caps, pink everything.
Well, strong men wear pink.
That's right.
Witness what's in front of you.
John wore a pink shirt.
What can I tell you?
It's
Bill, how did you happen to get on to that subject?
Oh, well, we've been rambling.
This is
rambling and gambling, but we were actually talking about favorite players. So, and Pat asked me.
And William the Refrigerator Perry came up? I wouldn't think that would be a favorite player of Pat. He wasn't real popular in Green Bay.
We were talking about great characters.
Yeah.
I question William the Refrigerator Perry comes up in the context of great character.
He was a character. He was fun. And he did play for the Eagles.
I see. He was a great character who lacked character.
No, he didn't lack character. He was just a kind of a fun guy to watch.
Well, do you remember?
And I don't know, John. You probably didn't see him much, unfortunately.
I saw him play. Yeah, they beat the Giants in the NFC Championship game in 85. And I saw plenty of him in that game.
You probably did, and so did the Giants quarterback, who then was
Phil Sims.
Yeah.
We were talking about the fridge, and you missed the conversation. I saw him score his one Eagle touchdown.
And we don't need to repeat it, but anyway.
We'll tell you the story later. But
refrigerator offense.
The refrigerator offense, a good way. Open the door, shut the door, 6 points. It was a very, very, very funny story.
Bill, I'm shocked that you'd be on this subject when the airwaves are just a buzz about your Philadelphia Flyers.
Well, we've already talked about that.
I mean, you know, even I have to say I'm impressed. They beat Chicago and Detroit this week, and they've got good goaltending. They're getting timely scoring from good young players. I mean, Bill, where did this organization come from?
Well, let me tell you what's going on. First of all, they have finally figured out that back-checking is part of the game.
Yes, this team back-checks and works hard, yes.
Secondly, they know that they've got to win the game on the boards in their
defensive zone. They've got to win ugly.
In their defensive zone, they've got to get the puck out, get them to the defenseman, and then each forward is responsible. Once the puck has been dug out of a corner or off the wall to a defenseman, each forward now has to look to be the outlet pass guy. And at the same time, think about when he gets the puck, making the next pass.
Well, the head manning the puck out of the zone.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a very important concept. You may remember that Haxtell won an NCAA championship with University of North Dakota
a
couple of times because he stressed that so much. Additionally, when you get forwards back-checking, it relieves a defenseman of responsibility for the puck along the wall. And the defenseman can now be a defenseman and be in.
And not just get hammered into the boards or
take up a shooting lane towards the goal. So once you're closing off those shooting lanes, the defenseman can either block a puck, block a shot, or wait for the puck to come off the boards. And because Philadelphia's defense suddenly has picked up some speed with the addition of Shane Gutisbehar, or the Ghost, you now no longer see defenseman on the other
side. I had finally figured out how to pronounce his name, but after listening to you just now, now I've lost that completely. I had it, and then I just heard you say it incorrectly, and now you've corrupted my version of it,
well,
Bill.
You will go right ahead. I'm pleased.
It is easier to say ghost, and ghost. And you know,
Shane,
I get
the ghost.
That.
Yeah, the amazing Shane thing the to
ghost.
Me is that the
Gostenspiel, I think it is, right?
Something.
Gostenspiel.
Like, yeah, it sounds like a German.
I was just going to say, it sounds a little German.
I was going to say, you were making it sound French.
Gotisbehere.
No. I think it's Gostenspiel.
His
so
grandfather's
German,
from
not
Montreal.
Well, he's probably of German descent.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, you know, with the way you pronounce it with your rival faux German speech. It almost sounds like a camel strangling on a plastic bag.
But that's what German sounds like. On the other hand, I am always surprised that John doesn't, especially this week, speak with an Irish accent. I mean, you're from Boston. You can't
well,
do Southie.
We tolerate the Irish in
you
Boston.
Can't do
we
Southie.
Tolerate the Irish.
You can't do
Southie. We're the ones who clean up the image a little bit, and you know, where the mollifying effect is the Italian sector. But they had a big celebration this week, and as you may be aware, you may recall, my daughter was in Ireland last week. And then came back to Boston to really celebrate St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, we
and
celebrate much more here than they do
in
Ireland.
Oh, yeah, that's
really?
What she said.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
The one,
yeah.
And can you imagine, you know what happens in St. Patrick, on St. Patrick's Day in Ireland?
No idea.
The pubs are closed.
What a shame.
I mean, I wonder if there's maybe Christmas.
Well, it's a religious holiday in
I mean,
Ireland.
But is it maybe, but I mean, can you imagine in the United States if bars would close on St. Patrick's Day? I mean, there's some Irish bars that probably do 50% of their business.
Yeah, in one day, yeah.
especially in some parts of Brooklyn and Queens. You know, if you get a good Irish
all over.
Bar.
But the good news is we didn't hear any bad press. Everything seemed to be under control, and a good time was had by all. I didn't hear any bad things. So that's the best thing, because St. Patrick's Day is, you know, one of the three or four best days of the year in terms of people having fun and celebrating, getting
absolutely.
Together, family and friends, and lifting a glass.
It always is a fun day.
You know, and you feel better about it if there's no bad press. And I didn't hear anything, so that's to their credit.
I didn't even hear about anybody drinking beer dyed green, which I think is a terrible thing to do to beer.
Yeah, I don't know. I've seen that, tried it, and it's a weird feeling. You
it
know?
Is. I don't. I'll take my beer whatever the natural color is. I don't think it needs to be dyed green. I enjoy beer way too much. Just take a look at my waistline.
So do you like the blonde Guinness that they're now brewing in the United States?
I've never had the blonde Guinness. Now I'm going to have to stop at the liquor store and pick up a six-pack.
Blonde Guinness.
Do you
know, because Guinness has always been a dark beer.
Yeah, do you know, dark Guinness makes great pot roast. It is delicious, especially with lots of potatoes.
You can also
soak
the beer,
off the subject,
the brats.
Here.
But go ahead.
Moving right along, though, I have been in Ireland, although not on St. Patrick's
Day. Moving right along,
let's
do a couple commercials. We're not going to take a news break, but I guess we should let some of the sponsors. You know, who knows? They may be calling anyway on Monday, saying, "Hey, put us on somebody else's show."
Go ahead, Pat. Let's shoehorn them in.
Okay, we'll be back shortly.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
This is Jeannie Aversa, CRPC, financial advisor at Patton Hidine Associates. Do you have questions about your retirement? Like, will your money last throughout your lifetime? Will you have enough to live the life you want? And when will you be able to retire? If so, you're not alone. As a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., Patton Hidine Associates can help you find the answers with the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach. We'll work with you one-to-one to understand your goals and discuss the four key areas of retirement, including covering your essentials, lifestyle, protection, and legacy needs. From there, we'll work together to develop a retirement roadmap with clear steps you can take to help you retire on your terms. Call Patton Hidine Associates today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntertonChamberRadio.com app today.
Okay, guys, we're back. The sports guys, and you know, I'm going to sit back and let you two go to it.
We talked about St. Patrick's Day, but, you know, I've actually been to sporting events in Ireland. And we saw the Kilkenny Cats play the Tipperary County team in a game of hurling. Now, I always thought hurling was something that you did if you had too much Guinness. But it turned out that hurling is actually an Irish sport. It's a little bit like lacrosse, but it's played with what looks like a broken hockey stick and a softball.
A broom or something.
On a football field.
In the last Olympics, the Swedish team was a big hit.
In hurling,
if you remember,
curling.
This is hurling with an H.
Curling is where you sort of, it's like shuffleboard.
That's what I'm saying. It was the curling, the Swedish curling team. It was a big hit in the Olympics.
Well, I didn't
just this past attention. Olympics. They were grabbing all the headlines.
Well, maybe that's because they were women, young and blonde. But this was hurling.
Perish the thought.
But Irish games are a lot of fun, and the fans really get into them. If you ever get to go to – I like to go to sporting events in foreign countries, with the exception of going and seeing soccer. But
Really?
Yeah.
You don't like a soccer game in a foreign country?
It's too dangerous.
Well,
the fans
I went
go crazy.
8 months pregnant, so I don't know.
Well, that was in Latin America. I would not go to a soccer match in England. I mean, if you've got Manchester United playing Liverpool, good luck.
Yeah, well, you can't imagine what it's like when Guatemala plays Honduras or Nicaragua.
Didn't they fight a war over a soccer match in
Probably.
Central America?
They killed a goalie that let a soft goal, and they killed him.
No. It soccer is... Now, the one sport that I don't like, and I don't even consider it a sport, is bullfighting. And, you know, that's one that...
I root for the bull.
Well, I was so concerned about the horses that I could not enjoy it because, you know, I've been to bullfights, but...
So you went to a corrida.
Corrida.
And did you do that in Mexico or in Spain?
Yes, in Mexico. Yeah. No, I won't. I mean, no, I won't go again in Spain or
I saw one
anywhere.
On television in Spain, and I didn't think I would go. We were in Spain, and I watched it on TV. My wife was revolted. Because it was basically torturing a bull.
Oh, those, look, actually the good bulls, when they have the really good bulls, they're formidable. They really are. But what bothered me is the horses. I mean, it's like the bulls and the bull riding. Now, I do love bull riding because the bulls are so incredible that, you know, they have the real advantage over the bull riders. So I do watch that, but I didn't like the, anyway, it was because those poor horses out there, you know, I was
those
always afraid they were going to get gored.
Yeah, so. And if you've ever been around farm animals, you're around, a bull can go 1,500 pounds, and yeah, they're big animals, but they can also run pretty fast, too. And to get hit by one is like getting hit by a truck.
Well, the bulls that they trained for bullfighting in this country are really magnificent specimens. So anyway, maybe we can find someone one day.
It's amazing the things you learn by listening to the sports guys.
That's true. First we were talking about corned beef, and now we're throwing the bull. Meanwhile, you know, we're having some interesting spring training going on, at least for the Yankees. The Yankees seem to be solving their pitching problems. Luis Severino is turning into a really good pitcher. It looks like Ron Ref Snyder might very well be the utility infielder the Yankees have been looking for to spell Chase Headley. It also looks like Starlin Castro can play short as well as second base. So.
Oh, he is a shortstop by trade. Yeah. That was a good move. Cash, they got him for low value, but he's a good player.
I
was annoyed
well
when
them.
They pulled that trade off. He's
the
good
real
player.
Issue for the Yankees will be the starting pitching. Will they get the hitting from their outfield that they need? And does Mark Teixeira have a couple good years left? A-Rod continues to hit home runs and continues to look like a very strong designated hitter. And you know me, I'm a sucker for second chance stories. But this
I think
is,
A-Rod's on about his eighth chance, but
that could very well be. He's got his nine lives like any cat. But the important thing is the Yankees look like they could be a wild card team this year, and we should once again begin getting interesting late season Yankee Red Sox games.
Well, what about the Red Sox, John? Haven't heard much from you.
They actually have a sub-500 record in the spring, but they've been trying a lot of young players. I think the lineup is pretty well set. Pitching, they've had a couple of injuries. But, you know, with the addition of David Price, he's going to drastically improve your entire rotation because everybody moves up a notch. You know, a guy that was the number four is a three starter now and so forth. So they... they're looking good. I think they're the team to beat in the AL East. I think they can beat Toronto because Toronto lost David Price and the Red Sox picked him up. I think the Red Sox have better young talent with Bogart, Betts, the Cuban players they picked up. Ortiz, I think, will be juiced up to have a good final year. He says this is his final year. I think he's going to be hungry for another ring to go out that way. Yeah, we're really looking forward to a good year in Boston.
But what about Chicago? Whatever happened to baseball fathers and sons? It looks like Chicago doesn't really like bring your son to the clubhouse anymore. What's
well,
the on that,
you
John?
Know, well, that's so ridiculous it isn't even worth talking about. But
I was amused.
This guy walks off the team that's paying him $13 million right. because he can't have his son in the locker room every day. I mean,
shouldn't his son be in
give
school?
Give me a break.
I thought
and
that
that's
was
a sin.
I mean, over the top also.
I thought so, too. Shouldn't his son be in school? I mean, this is a
well, that was the other
boy.
Thing. Supposedly, he's 14 years old, and he has some tutor or something. But, yeah, he should be in school. I mean, what's he learning hanging around the locker room?
Oh, probably a lot.
He's probably learning a lot from the 21 and 23-year-old guys that just want to party all night after the games. If I were the father of a teenage boy, I think I'd be putting my hands over his ears and also over his eyes when they're
in the locker room. Do you think they do that as much now, honestly?
Pardon?
I mean, the old days, everybody partied. But do you really think that these guys that are paid that kind of money – I mean, it really seems to me that they try to stay in much better shape other than the ones who, you know, do the drugs. But, you know, it seems to me that they are more serious about keeping in shape and,
some are. Pat, some are and some aren't. Remember, the Philadelphia Flyers had a real problem with Mike Richards and Jeff Carter being heavy partiers. And so Carter went to Columbus, which is a little bit like purgatory for most people if you're a hockey fan.
Green Bay in the 50s.
And Mike Richards ended up with the L.A. Kings, where he won a Stanley Cup for him. But then he began having his own personal problems, and he was picked up by the Washington Capitals. So who knows? He may get his name on yet another cup if the Caps continue their great season.
Which is certainly what, considering Washington, not a given.
No.
Given their playoff history, but yes, they seem
know.
And I said this last fall, they came out of the box with they were like 15-2. Well, Montreal came out really strong. Remember, 13-1
got hurt,
and then their season went in the dump. But Washington has been perhaps the best team all year. You know, they really are the team to beat in the East, and you know, they've had good teams for years now, and they it could be their year.
They've never won a cup, have they?
No, they have not.
So I would think Ovechkin wants his name on a cup soon.
I would think so.
And, you know, surprisingly, they moved Mike Green, who's now with Minnesota. And I saw him playing the other night against Dallas, and he still has all the moves. He really handles the puck well. I was surprised that they couldn't re-sign him as a free agent.
Hmm.
But moving right along, we have about 10 minutes to go, and I wanted to talk about this upcoming weekend. Tomorrow is going to be a kind of a blustery, cold, sort of sunny day with some snow.
No, it's supposed to be nice tomorrow. It's supposed to be 45 degrees.
But windy and cold, I heard.
No, north winds.
Be nice weather in the tennis center is all I know.
No,
be very nice weather in the tennis
actually
center.
It's supposed to be partly sunny, 45 degrees, wind only 3 to 6 miles an hour.
Well, maybe I will go to the boat, but what about Sunday?
Oh,
Sunday's snowy.
Sunday snow.
How much snow are we supposed to get? What does our weather service say?
We're supposed to have about a 40% chance of snow on Saturday night, 70% on Sunday. Looks like it'll snow all day and into the evening, and then Monday could be a mess.
Hmm.
So if you know, you're certainly not going to have fun on your boat on Sunday.
Oh, definitely not.
But tomorrow should be the day that John can play tennis outdoors.
Well,
45 is still a little bit chilly. I'll be indoors tomorrow.
Yep. A bit nippy to play tennis outdoors.
Do they have
I was
a lot
thinking
of
heading down.
At your
no, they have none.
They don't have any, do they?
No, they have none. Yeah, you have Flemington Tennis Center, which has, I think, 4 clay courts outside. But that's about it. There aren't too many outdoor courts anymore because, you know, you're limited when you can play.
Well, the high school has courts.
The high school, North 100 Central.
And there were some over by Robert Hunter School, if I remember.
Yeah.
I like playing tennis outdoors. You know, you're out in the fresh air and the sunshine and the weather's nice. It's just pleasant. Indoors is great, but I would rather be outside and in the fresh air, getting the exercise and hitting the ball. One of the things I wanted to ask about is we have March Madness going on right now, and my Temple Owls are playing Iowa right now, and I'm going to check the score while you guys chat.
Okay. Well, that is true. Have you watched anything so far? I mean, it just started.
Not much. I mean, it's tough during the week, but there were a couple of big upsets, I believe.
Yeah, the tip-off was, I think, 3 o'clock today.
Well, it's in overtime right now. It came down to two seconds left, and there was a one-point differential, and the kid hit the free throw to tie it. Temple inbounded the ball but couldn't get a shot off, and so it's in overtime. Whether it's over now, I don't know. But what is overtime in college? 5 minutes like the pros?
I don't know.
No, I'm not sure. And I don't know if it changes at all in the tournaments.
Well, here's your answer, so, folks. Final in overtime, Iowa beats Temple 72-70.
Wow.
So wow, that was
the
close.
Owls, a 21-12 season, number one in the American Athletic Association, fall to number three in the Big Ten, Iowa.
Well, that's a
actually nationally the Big Ten.
If they're
ranked number three, they're a much better team. So it looks like Temple gave them a good scare.
Yeah, sure does. They had a good year.
Yeah, you got to be happy with the sports program. Pardon?
That has to be disappointing to go out the first round.
Well, you know, they seem to go out in the first round a lot. Fran Dunphy has them playing really well all year. Last year they went out in the first round. This year, unfortunately, they got stuck with Iowa, an excellent team, and they went out in the first round. I remember Temple getting into the Final Four and losing to Massachusetts at the buzzer. Mm. And another time getting into the Final Eight and losing to the Richmond Spiders, like with seconds to go when somebody hit a three-pointer.
Well, that happens often in basketball.
Yeah.
It really does.
But, you know, the only thing I really like about college basketball is when the outcome is in doubt until the last couple of seconds. Otherwise, for some reason, the game just drives me crazy.
Well, there can be great changes, though. I mean, I've done things like during March Madness, kind of gotten disgusted at what Wisconsin's doing, turning it off. And then, you know, you turn it on 10 minutes later and, you know,
the score
is really, you know, completely reversed.
I've seen some.
So what do you think this year, John? Who do you
basketball
think is going to be
like
some of the top teams that get into the
well, you know, your traditional powers are there.
Have they changed at all?
Kentucky's and Duke's and, you know, I mean, you've really got a concentration of great talent at a small number of universities. I think the biggest attraction to college basketball alludes to what you just said, that it's the upset.
Yeah.
That I think that's the big attraction, the potential upset.
Well, the big question I have is Louisville. I mean,
they didn't make the tournament.
This year they didn't. But, you know, usually they're a basketball powerhouse. And I always said to myself, this sounds like a basketball team. It just sort of happens to have a school, too. But has anybody ever attended that school? I've never met anybody who's gone to Louisville.
That's a small school.
But they're such a basketball powerhouse.
Yeah, well, you only need five guys to play.
Yeah, and how many?
They have a lot of one-and-done guys. So that's why they have off-seasons, because they'll bring a couple of kids in, they'll win something, and then they're all jumping to the NBA, and then they're left with no roster. As opposed to other schools that are there year in and year out, may not always win, but they're competitive because they built a program.
I can't comment because I just don't know.
Yeah.
So the real issue for me is, does anyone there ever go to a class? I mean, can you actually go to classes at this school? Or is it just a basketball
team? I think we're still at the inquisitive spot about, is there a school? Is there a campus?
Inquiring minds want to know. If anybody out there listening can tell,
you know,
if they're in the class,
I don't
there,
know
I'd be
why,
really interested.
I don't know why you're surprised. I mean, and I don't mean to, you know, put anybody down, but if you're in another part of the country and somebody said, you know, Rider University, I mean, you know, do you think that
that's
you've ever met
point.
Anybody?
That's
you know,
a good point. Or Monmouth in football.
Yeah. I mean, Louisville is, down there. If you go down there, I'm sure there are lots of folks who graduated from Louisville. And I that's the way you would say it, not Louisville.
I expect there are.
Or Louisville.
No, not Louisville. It's Louisville.
Is it Louisville?
Louisville.
That's what they say at Louisville?
Yep, Louisville.
That's like you don't go to, in Philadelphia, you don't go to college. You go to college. And well, the head of the city is not the mayor. It's the mayor.
Well, Jake has been giving me all this week because, I'm Irish. So he's been doing the Southie accent, which he's got down perfect. And I was surprised, John, that you can't do a Southie accent for me.
No, I never had much of a Boston accent for whatever reason. I guess I was just predestined to be a mid-Atlantic stater.
Well, sort of a plain vanilla kind of guy.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Well, let me play a couple more spots, and then, we'll wrap up and say goodbye. We won't be here next week on Friday.
Good Friday already, and spring this weekend. Springs.
Clocks have already sprung forward, so we went through that and lost our hour, and it's so much nicer to have some sun late afternoon, isn't it?
It really is, if there's sun. And, the problem, of course, is all the daffodils are up at my property, I'm sure at other places, and so let's hope that this snow is, quick to fall and quick to leave, and we'll get back to some nice weather, which I understand we're supposed to have next week. So let's...
Amen.
Let's have some...
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HunterdonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Okay, we're back, and we're going to have just two more minutes. And what should people be looking for in sports the next week?
Well, sports would not be sports guys wouldn't be complete without reference to the NFL. And, you have all these free agent pickups, signings, trades going on. Players are actually getting traded. I mean, the NFL has always been horrible. They're so collusive. They don't trade, but now they're trading.
So what do you think are some of the trades that you're looking
well,
at?
Well, you have a very interesting trade in New England where they got rid of their top pass rusher and Chandler Jones and picked up other players and draft picks because they needed them. They need them to stay well-stocked, and you got to give them credit. They continue to stay competitive. The two top free agency teams are the Giants and the Eagles. The NFC East is going to get a lot better, a lot faster than people think. And that's not because Tony Romo's back. I think the Eagles and the Giants are going to be vastly improved. The games are going to be even more intense. And that division's really up for grabs.
Who do you think who's going to really help out the Giants?
Well, they've got three very good players on defense. They got a pass rusher, they got a linebacker, and they got a corner. They let Prince Amukamara go, who they paid him like a number one pick, but he never played like a number one pick.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've moved on there, and I think they've shored up their defense tremendously. They have a 10th pick in the draft. Eagles have the 8th pick. And this is not a super talented draft. So this is a draft where you're looking to get value.